Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're still in our Matthew text of Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. This is our third time through. The first time through, we took the promise of love. Last week, we took the presence of love. This week, we study the performance of love. Matthew 22, 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he silenced the Sadducees, they were gathered together there. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God in your whole heart, in your whole soul, and in your whole mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In these two commandments, the whole law and the prophets are hanging." Confronted by the Pharisees, a sect of the Jews, just like the Sadducees, he was confronted through one of their lawyers or scribes, who the text says was testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" So he wanted to debate the greatest commandment in the law with Jesus. He wanted to test him. Our focus was on what Jesus said to him. "You shall love the Lord your God in your whole heart, in your whole soul, and in your whole mind. And the second commandment is likened unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I've been emphasizing to you that in the Greek text, the original language, "you shall love" is in the future tense. Yet it's presented as a command. The future tense, future active indicative, means that it's a fact. It is a certainty. You shall love the Lord. You shall love your neighbor. But yet it's a command. He's not giving it as a challenge, but rather stating it as fact, a certainty. It being a command, yet it's in the future tense. As I've mentioned the last couple of weeks, this expresses the principles of salvation taught to us in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 27. Those texts are in the next page in your study guide, page 7, Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. We studied, first of all, the purification of our sins. "And I will sprinkle upon you clean waters, and you shall be clean from all of your uncleanness, and from all of your idols I will cleanse you." This purification happens when we go through the transformation process of verse 26. It says in verse 26, "And I will give to you a new heart, and a new spirit I will give within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh." Give you a heart that's sensitive to the things of God rather than a stone heart that is cold against him. We saw last week in one of our scripture texts that we took in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The moment the person experiences this change, this transformation, the person is cleansed, the washing of regeneration. Regeneration means to acquire a new nature, to be born again, to be born anew. And the washing and the renewing of the Holy Spirit is an inner transformation that takes place when this transformation takes place. It's inner. It's new. So this washing of the purifications of our sins happens when he gives us a new heart, when he puts his Spirit within us. God makes a radical change of a person's inner nature by putting his Spirit within a person. This happens when a person receives Jesus Christ. His Spirit goes to dwell in a person. We saw last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, that Paul said to examine yourselves. That means put yourself to the test, whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Do you not know that you are your own selves, that Christ Jesus is in you, except you be disqualified? So when Christ comes in, you become a new person, a new nature within. And the person is washed and cleansed of all of their sins. But this new nature comes when a person receives Christ. Thirdly, for today, the performance of the Christian life in verse 27, and I will give my Spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments, and you will have done them. So he repeats from verse 26, I will give my Spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will, not you might, you will keep my judgments, and you will have done them. Notice the translation of that last perfect tense. You will have done them. You've done them already, but you will do it yet in the future. So God's Spirit comes into a person when one receives Christ. But God's Spirit does God's work. The Spirit of Christ within produces the things of God. In particular, the Holy Spirit produces love. The performance of love is by the Holy Spirit that has come to dwell within, the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of Christ when you receive Christ. Now, it's important to know what love means, understand its function, and how it's applied. You shall love the Lord. You shall love your neighbor. The first thing we have to know in our understanding is, what is love? What does love mean? There are four prominent words for love in the Greek language. One of them is eros, which is where we get our English term erotic or sensual. That's not found in the New Testament. Then the word storge, which is family love, love between children and parents. The negative of this word is found in 2 Timothy 3, verse 3, where it says, in the last days, people will be without natural affection. People will be without this kind of storge. Then there's two prominent words used in the New Testament for the word love. The word agape and the word philos. Philos means friendship, a friendship kind of love. But agape is divine love. Not agapao. Agapao is the verb form of agape. It does not mean divine love. But agape, the noun, means divine love. In fact, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, gives us a good biblical definition of agape. In 1 John 4, 7 through 12, it says, "Beloved, we should be loving one another, because love is from God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. The one not loving does not know God, because God is love." There's your definition of agape love. God is agape. It's not a human action. It's not a human feeling. Agape is God himself. It is his nature. It is his essence. The one loving, the one not loving does not know God, because God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world in order that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, which is a biblical word meaning satisfaction. He is a propitiation on behalf of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to be loving one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we should love one another, God dwells in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Perfected means brought to its conclusion. So John in 1 John, he's connecting. We're going to see a lot of verses from 1 John this morning. But John is connecting salvation and knowing Christ with loving God. If you're saved, you love God. If you're not saved, you don't love God. If you don't love God, you're not saved. That's what he's saying. He's connecting the two together. So God is, agape is God's nature and his essence. And then it's secondly, it's function. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into a person's life, that person is filled with the love of God. But then it also tells us in the scriptures that love is a fruit of God's Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." That's agape. So love, agape, is produced by the Spirit. It is a fruit of God's Spirit, not a work of human beings. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So once God's Spirit is in the person, God's Spirit produces the fruit. As a matter of fact, it says in John 15, 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. The one dwelling in me and I in him, the same is bringing forth much fruit, because without me, you are not able to do one thing." It's So Jesus says a statement of fact. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. The one who's dwelling in Christ is bearing much fruit. Not should, but is. Because that's the function of the Spirit of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, by their fruit you shall know them. Not by their religion, but by their fruit you shall know them. Because God's Spirit dwelling in a person produces fruit. Now that we've studied the function of love and the meaning of love, now we want to study the application of love. And with that, we have several texts in 1 John. You can follow in your Bibles if you have it. If not, I will relay it to you and give you a literal translation. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 18 is our first text. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brothers. I know I'm saved because I love the brotherhood. It's what God's Spirit produces when you're saved. The one loving not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that every murderer does not have eternal life abiding in him. In this we know the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's goods, and the word toward goods there in verse 17 of 1 John 3 is the sustenance of life. He who has the sustenance of life and should see his brother have need and should close up his bowels of compassion from him, how does the love of God dwell in him? It doesn't. My little children, we should not love in word, neither in tongue, but in work and in truth. It's not something we say. It's something we do. It's something that is live and working in truth in a person's life. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we should love one another as he gave us commandment. We've been studying that back in Matthew 22. He gave us a commandment. So therefore, if we belong to God, we should be loving our brothers. And the one keeping his commandments dwells in him, that is Christ, and Christ in him. And in this we know that he dwells in us through the Spirit which he has given us. I know he dwells in me because he has given me his Spirit. It is his Spirit that is giving me a love for the brotherhood, for the brothers and sisters who are in Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and we have known and have believed the love that God has towards us. God is love, and the one dwelling in love dwells in God and God in him. God is love. So if you dwell in God, you are dwelling in love, and love is dwelling in you. In this is our love made perfect, in order that we might have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. He's in me. I am as he is, as he ministers through me and manifests through me. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. The one fearing has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So following God out of fear is not love. Responding to the Lord in obedience to him is based on love, love for him, and the desire to please him. But we love him because he first loved us. It's his love in has come into us first, and then our love back. It's a reflection, it's a response to his love. We didn't make it up ourselves. If any man should say, I love God, and should hate his brother, he's a liar. For the one loving not his brother whom he has seen, how is he able to love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that the one loving God loves his brother also. It's a statement of fact. It's a commandment to love God and love your brother also. 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3. In this we know that we love the children of God, whenever we should love God and keep his commandments. My love towards you is shown towards you, manifested out of my life towards you, when I obey the Lord. The highest act of love that I can do for you and to you is to obey the Lord and do what the Lord wants me to do. If I compromise and I don't do what the Lord wants me to do, but I'm afraid of what your reaction is going to be, so I compromise my obedience to do what the Lord wants me to do, that's not love. By this we know that we love the children of God whenever we should love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, in order that we should keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, literally burdensome. His commandments are a delight to the person who desires to please God. To love God and do that which is pleasing in his sight is not burdensome. If you love someone or something, whatever you have to go through to fulfill it is not a burden. So it is with the things of God. The things of God are not a burden to those who love him and keep his commandments. So there you have a combination of being saved and having the Spirit of God dwell within and having agape love dwell within. Both happen at the same time. You can't do one without the other. You can't have one without the other. If you have the Spirit of God, you have love. And that love is manifesting itself to the brothers. If not, John clearly says in his texts, if you hate your brother, then you don't have God. He doesn't dwell there. That's why the First John book in the Bible is controversial. Because you read through First John, he makes it as a statement of fact. If God is in you, then his love is in you. And if his love is in you, then his love is performing in you. His love is doing the performance. Now, there's a couple of responses to these over the years that we've had. Someone might say, if I waited on the Lord to do his work, nothing would happen. Because if I don't do it, it won't happen. If I just wait on him, then nothing's going to happen. Well, if a person is filled with the Spirit of Christ, it is impossible for nothing to happen. If a person is filled with the Spirit of Christ, it's impossible for him not to be working and moving. You're talking about the Spirit of God that created the universe, that holds the entire universe together, that came and died for our sins on the cross, and then came to live within. We have him, according to Paul in Colossians chapter 1 and chapter 2, that we have him in his fullness. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And you are complete in him. We have all of God living within. And for someone to say, yeah, I do nothing with human effort. If I wait on God, nothing happens. Well, you've got two things happening. Either God's not doing anything, or you're not saved. Because it's impossible to have Christ and nothing be happening. No ministry going on. And especially love, the performance of love. God's Spirit performs that love. Secondly, we cannot judge the work of God's Spirit by evaluating human performance. As I look at my human performance, my human nature does not love. There are people I don't get along with, believe it or not. There are people that I don't love in the human. But that doesn't mean I don't have love. It means that God's Spirit is performing that love in me by self-sacrificing, by laying down one's life for someone else. We try to love people with human effort and it just doesn't work out. We fail. Seems like we succeed at times, but we just fail. God's Spirit is loving and is ministering through us, if indeed we have the Spirit of Christ. So the performance of love, and what Ezekiel said in his verse 27 of Ezekiel 36, I will give my Spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. I will make you, I will cause you to walk in my ways. And you will keep my judgments, and you will have done them. I'll cause you to do it. It might be someone that you as a human being don't love. But God's Spirit within you will. And make you and cause you. And it's that making and causing. The reason why he has to make us and cause us is because the human flesh, the human nature just doesn't do spiritual things. Only the Spirit of God does God's work. And only God's Spirit does the things of God. So that's why many times, if not often, I have a duel going on between my not getting along with someone versus the love of Christ causing me to get along. It's a dual role. But that's what the Scripture is saying. I cannot evaluate God's love in me and his dwelling in me but based on my human effort. My human effort will fail. The human effort will not love, as the Scripture tells me to. But God's Spirit says he will. He will make us. He will cause us. That's the evidence. That's the fruit of Christ dwelling within. And a person dwelling in Christ. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, the statement of facts in the Scriptures is so plain and so clear, yet so hard. You make it very clear that your desire is to purify and cleanse us from our sins by the sending of your Spirit into our life. You're making us a new heart and placing your Spirit within. And when you place your spirit within, you cause us to keep your commandments so that we will do them, because your spirit is the one who will do it. You know you have to cause us to do it because we don't have it in us, in our human nature, in our flesh. But only by the Spirit of God are we able to keep the commandments of God. Pray that you give us understanding of these things. They're very difficult and very hard, but yet very factual. It's very easy to be religious about the things of Christ, but we pray that you would cause us to do as Paul says, examine yourselves, test yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove yourselves whether Christ be in you or not. And this is all proven by the love of God that has been poured out in our hearts. We pray that you'd continue to overwhelm us and influence by your love. May we be motivated by your love. May your love manifest yourself through us to others, because times are difficult and people are going through hard times and they need the love of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.